you would turn with me to 1 Peter, you know, there's just such a pregnancy in the atmosphere during worship. It was just, I just felt like I was pregnant in faith. There's just something that's stirring. Hallelujah. So I don't know who else felt that, but I did. So I want to just cover a few things here because I want to talk about completion. I want to talk about completion. Because see, a couple of weeks ago, Tina was here and she was speaking about a few things. But to me, it was the same message because I'd already been speaking about completion. What she was speaking about was what elevation and capacity. In other words, when we reach our capacity in our current place, it's time for an elevation into our next place. Well, in order for us to get to that next place, it's time for us to complete where we're at. We got to come into a completion. And so we're going to look at a situation so we can come into a completion. But I want you to understand, you're not alone in this. You're not alone to establish the completion. You don't have to do that all by yourself, because if we're not involving God, we're not doing it right. Because if we're doing it all by myself, then it's going to miss the completion that God wants. So let me give you a scripture for that. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. And see, after you've suffered for a little while, say, have you suffered? Okay, it's done. Okay, it was for a little while. Okay, it's not for the rest of your life. It's after a little while, and that's gone, and it's time to pass. Okay? The God of all grace, the God of what? All grace. Say it with me, all grace. That's my God. That's your God. The God of all grace, right? Who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Well, you know what this perfection is? What that perfection is the same word as completion. It's the same word as completion. In other words, it's the Lord Himself, the Lord of all grace, who comes to complete us, draw us into fullness and a completion of the circle, to where we're not lacking in any area. And see, He comes to affirm us. I can tell you, there's lots of people on the pages of Fortune 500 who are looking for Daddy's affirmation. Daddy's affirmation is here. Daddy's affirmation is here. He's looking to affirm you. And He's going to strengthen you. And He's going to establish you. You know what establish means? Establish means that He's going to take what you have. He's going to birth it. And He's going to cause it to grow and multiply. Whatever it is that you're giving Him, He's going to birth it. He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring it into place. And then He's going to cause it to grow and multiply. So that's the background that we're going to come from here today. And so as we come from that background, if you would, just turn with me to 2 Kings. I want to read a story that may or may not be familiar to you. Hallelujah. Jesus, You make a way. Hallelujah. So 2 Kings 13. And here I'm going to start with verse 14. So when Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. And he took a bow and arrows. And then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. And Elisha said, and laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the window toward the east. And he opened it. And then Elisha gave him another instruction. He said, shoot. Shoot. You know, it's important when you take the shot. When the prophet calls you, you take a shot. You take your shot. All right? So then, and then Elisha said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, for you have defeated the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. And then he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him. And he said, you should have struck it five or six times. And then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. Let me give you a little background. Aram is basically Syria. I think if you're looking at the King James, it's actually telling you Syria. But Aram is Syria. And so the king of Syria, the king of Aram, was continually raiding. But he was raiding and just taking new territories, basically, from Israel. And so he was out there and he was doing all these things. But there was a testing that was happening for this young king. See, this young king had just inherited his kingship. And his dad had been at war with this guy for his lifetime. But see, sometimes we don't always see the multitude of what we're supposed to do. Let me back you up for just a second. Verse 5. And the Lord gave Israel a deliverer. So they escaped from under the hand of the Arameans, and the sons of Israel lived in their tents as formerly. Guess who that deliverer was? Young Joash. Joash. He was now the king, and he was called to be a deliverer for Israel. And see, now sometimes we look at our background and we think, well, that keeps me from doing something. Because see, he came from a long line of people who all did bad. They all did evil. And all, the kings that were kings over Judah and over Israel at that time were basically looking and doing evil in the sight of God. And he came from a long line of people who had been doing that. So what he had was a very dysfunctional family. But he had a calling on his life. So he began to do something here that the rest of them didn't do. So he came out of this middle of this dysfunction, and he began to seek out the prophet of God. And he began to honor the prophet of God. When he was talking about my father, the king, the horseman, and all of his chariots, all of this stuff, that was what he was doing. He was giving honor. He was recognizing the prophet's place was more important to the welfare of Israel than all of that. All of that. See, when we begin to honor, then God can release grace. When we begin to honor, God is able to step into the situation and release a grace over your prosperity and over your path, over your destiny. He didn't even understand this destiny that was being given to him, but he did understand that if I come to the prophet, I'll do something my daddy never did. Because see, as mighty of a prophet as Elisha was, he had been dormant for 30 or 40 years at this point. No one had called upon him. It wasn't that the anointing wasn't with him. The anointing was still there, but no one had called him up and said, come, 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 come and talk to me. Come and deal with me. Come and talk with me. Release what you need to release. See, we got to pull upon the thing of God. We got to pull upon the prophet of God. We got to pull upon the place of God. We got to pull upon what God has already given and what He's set out in front of us. Because see, His father could have done that, and yet He chose not to. For 30 years, this man had the anointing in him to win the battle. The guy had the anointing to win the battle, and yet no one pulled it out of him. Joash decided, I'm going to come and call upon Him. Hallelujah. See, he was in a tight spot. He only had 50 horsemen left. He only had 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen. You know, it's really hard to go to war when you got no tools. When you don't have, I know that's really terrible English. When you don't have any tools, when you don't have tools, it's hard to go to war. But God was saying, I want you. Here, I want you to begin now living from the place of victory even before it happens. It's necessary for us to live from the place of victory the moment we hear it declared in our hearts. The moment we hear it declared, that's because if we'll take that victory, it will come to pass. We just have to take the victory and just receive it and begin to speak it and release it the same as what we see here. Hallelujah. So let me give you five things here about completion. Okay? Completion. Number one, take aim at something. Number two, what you need is around you. Number three, seize the window of opportunity. Okay. Number one, take aim. Take aim. Number two, what you need is already there. Number three, seize the window of opportunity. Number four, don't stop short. Number five, it's the Lord's arrow. It's the Lord's arrow. Okay, now let me just, while we're getting all that down, let me just recognize something here. Testimony is found in completion. Testimony is found in completion. How many know that when you hear a testimony, like we just saw and heard an excellent testimony from Monica today, when you hear a testimony, it encourages your faith. It encourages your faith. It causes you to be lifted up. But you know, when you have a testimony, it solidifies your faith. And I can guarantee you, she's walking in a greater level of faith because she's the one who had the testimony. Because see, it solidified something for her. And now that's going to set her in place for another testimony. Each one of us can be encouraged by what she's already received, but we can also begin to step into the same testimony that she has. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a power that releases in the testimony. There's a power that releases. And see, completion, one of the things about completion is completion requires focus. And focus is something that has to do with what we see, what we hear, and what we're doing. Let me give you an example. See, what you're seeing, I love to fish. And you know, I know this is not a surprise to some of y'all. Well, I love to fish, but one of the things, I have a friend of mine, and when we go fishing, his boat is moving continuously. And he's not moving at a slow pace. You know, basically you think, well, you just move a couple inches a little. No, no. He's cruising the thing, and we're fishing. And we're trying, and so what you're doing is your eyes are scanning continually that water. And as they scan the water, you're looking for likely spots because, see, 95% of the fish are going to be in 5% of the water. So if you figure out what that is, what that 5% is, then you target that. Say, and some days they're going to be up next to the stump, so you're targeting the stumps. And guess what? When you drop it in the stump, if they're looking at the stump, if you drop it 6 inches behind them, it ain't going to count. You got to put it in front of them right there. 6 inches can be the difference between you getting a fish and not getting a fish. So when you're looking, you got to target that stump that you see. But what I have found myself on occasion doing was I'm looking and I'm locked in. I got my stump here. I'm locked in. But then I see another target coming up and I look to my other target. Guess which I hit? None of them. Because see, if I'm looking, if I'm targeting here and I start looking there, the thing that's going to happen is my lure is going to wind up somewhere in between those two and probably get nothing. I just wasted my effort. Because see, we got to be taking aim at something. What was he doing here? He was taking aim. He was seeing. He said, look through the window to the east. He said, open the window to the east. Guess who had to open the window? The king had to open the window. He had to be involved in this process. He had to open the window. He said, to the east. Why? Because that's where the enemy was. That's where the enemy was. He said, it's time for us to open the window. Quit trying to hide inside and begin to recognize that I have a destiny to complete here. I have something I need to do. So all the dysfunction over there, it's got to go. All the anxiety, it's got to go. All the fear, it's got to be set aside. It doesn't matter. All whatever my issue was, I'm going to take aim at it because that enemy cannot stand any longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're completion requires focus. It's seeing and what you're hearing. What you're seeing and what you're hearing. So now my son used to play baseball. And just, you know, he was really a pretty incredible pitcher in the high school level. And one of the things that it used to really, really, really bug me, and if you're one of these parents that's done this, quit. But when he was out there, he would be pitching, he'd be on the mound, and he would be in a stretch, And, you know, he would have two strikes on him, and then you inevitably somebody would say, now don't lose him. No, what's your mind do when you hear something like that? You start thinking about what I got to do to not lose this opportunity. So you have to learn to shut out those voices that distract you from your purpose. You got to shut out those things that are taking you away from your target. Because if you don't shut those out, then you're going to do the very thing that this got called out to you. The enemy wants to call that out to you. He wants to make you think that, hey, you got to look this. You've got to give this attention right now. No, don't get distracted from your purpose. Don't get distracted from your focus, because that is part of the doing that happens. See, there's a doing that happens in the kingdom, and it's a doing of faith. It's a doing of faith, but we have to watch what we're hearing in the process. Because just if we, like when we hear the wrong voice, the voice that's not from God, it's going to lead you somewhere that's off target. But when we're staying in sync, we're staying in focus, it delivers us right to where the Lord wants us to go. So take an aim. Take an aim. Notice that when he said, here, open the window towards the east, and he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory. The Lord's arrow of victory. But what do you say before all that? He said, grab the bow. Grab the arrows. Now, he didn't have to go back out to the carriage to get to the bow and arrow. It was already right there. God used what was at hand to bring the multiplication. God used what was at hand to begin bringing the multiplication. When it doesn't matter what that thing is, but you have to see that whatever it is, God's not limited to what I see. He sees something greater than what I see, and he can release multiplication in any case because what he already knows what's at hand. All we have to do is begin to apply ourselves to what's at hand. Begin to recognize that I can take whatever it is that he's given me, and I can reach through, and I can begin to open the window. And I begin to take what the Lord has already placed here now by me. And I begin to draw back. And as I draw back, there's a destiny being released. Why? Why? Because the prophet put their hand with my hand. Come on, prophet, get with it. Put their hand with my hand, and we draw back. And then we release. And it goes forth to the target. Hallelujah. So what you see, what you have need of is around you. God is not limited. He's able to multiply whatever it is that you're willing to give. He's able to multiply whatever it is that you'll just yield to him. This morning we had a discussion about yielding to God. And surrendering is the word I typically use. Surrendering to him. And when we surrender to him, it's not always about finances. A lot of times it's about an attitude. It's about a something in our past. It's about something that we've already done. And we're still trying to live under condemnation of it. When we choose to surrender it to him, we can overcome. Why? Because we're listening to the voice of the prophet. We're listening to the voice of the Lord speaking into our lives and releasing a new destiny in spite of those things. He had nothing but a history of dysfunction behind him, but he was willing to let God stand with him in that moment and release an arrow on target toward the enemy. So this window, see, windows represent opportunities. You have to seize the opportunity in the moment of the opportunity. And that's not just me saying that. That's actually a quote. I don't remember who said it. But you seize the window of opportunity in the time of the opportunity. In other words, there are seasons for everything in our life. There are seasons for everything that goes on around us. We have to recognize the season. And if we'll recognize the season, we can prosper from the season. If we recognize the season, we can basically allow the Lord to move in us through the season. Sometimes we can just stumble into it. My grandfather was a farmer, and a gentleman came to him and said, "Well, I see you're really handy with equipment. I need somebody to come into my business with me and help me with work on this equipment, and I'll make you a 50-50 partner. So he sold the farm, moved to the city, and went into this implement business in the late 50s, mid to late 50s. That was right at the time that hybrid seed first came out. So now farmers, instead of getting 10 bushels of corn per acre, we're getting 100 bushels of corn per acre. And that prosperity caused the implement business at that particular time to just blow up and go crazy. Why? Because farmers with money spend money on two things: pickup trucks and more tools. Why? Because more tools means I can get more land. More land means I can get more money. More land means that my family is secure and everything's set. And so what happened was he wound up, through no particular intention of his, but just being in the right season and the right place, he wound up, things began to just blow up around him in an amazing way. And then in the 70s, mid-70s, he had several heart attacks, and finally the doctor said, you know, if you don't quit working, they'll find you underneath one of those combines. So you need to stop. And so he sold his part of the business. He got out, as it turns out, he got out right at the peak of the business. Why? Because right after that, then all the farms began to be corporate, and the individual farmers began to be less and less. Well, that means there was less need for the implements. So he was in that 20-year period, he was in the zone the whole 20-year period. But see, how much better is it if you know you're in the zone? How much better is it if you know I can take advantage of this because I see this trend going this way? If you know I can see this thing, and the Lord, I see how this can affect my life, and let me just choose to step into it. Seize the opportunity in the window of the opportunity. See, if we begin to identify the cycles, it helps us to know where we're going. See, we all have cycles in our life. Sometimes we have cycles that carry us into success, and then other times we have cycles that carry us into incompleteness. So we want to begin to recognize the cycles that carry us into some level of incompleteness and begin to focus on and major on the ones that will bring us into completion. See, because it's all about the finish. It's not about where you start. It's about how you're going to finish. So you recognize the opportunity. Notice this opportunity wasn't about his physical prowess, wasn't about anything, but his choice of faith for the king. His choice of faith to go and engage Elisha. To go and engage what the Lord had for his nation. See, he had more than enough equipment to do what the Lord asked him to do through the prophet. That brings us to the next one. Because see, sometimes our provision is tied to our vision. Hello? Hello? Our provision is tied to our vision. Okay, so that means don't stop short. Don't stop short. Because, see, we have to follow through. You don't want to stop short. You have to follow through. Whatever it is that you're about to do, you need to follow through. Because it's in the follow through. There's a saying that the fortune is in the follow through. It's a change is in the follow through. When I used to shoot pool, which I haven't done in a long, long time, so if somebody has a table at their house, let me know. But all right, I'm on my way. But here what we have, it's about the follow through. Because what, if you're shooting and you hit the cue ball with the stick and you stop at that moment of impact, most likely that ball is going to go somewhere you didn't want it to go. But if you follow through, it guides it directly and straightly to where it's supposed to go. Otherwise, you're limited to what can happen in just that moment of impact, but it's the follow through that determines your success. It's the follow through that gets you into the place of the success that you're looking for. God is looking and He needs follow through out of each and every one of us. Sometimes follow through. See, what happened here is he only struck it three times. I don't know that if he was half-hearted about it or if he just wasn't fully committed to what the Lord was saying. That's a possible. Or he just said, Lord, you know what, I'll just do this. But you know what he didn't do? Well, he didn't step into the follow-through. When a pitcher's pitching, when you come forward and you come forward with your hand, it's all about the follow-through. If your follow-through is not right, your balance is wrong. The follow-through determines what happens with that pitch. It determines whether or not it hits its target or you aim to miss. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, sometimes in our follow-through, we got to look and allow the old belief systems to be removed. Because that's normally the thing that's inhibiting your follow-through is a past belief. And when we begin to let that past belief, because see, it's really hard for me to enter into the presence of God if all I feel about myself is shame and condemnation. Okay? That's limiting my follow-through. I can't have a follow-through on my intention. My intention is unrealized and I don't come into completion because why? Because I'm letting some old baggage hold on to me. So he didn't, you know, and right there, I'm sure out of his dysfunction, he thought, you know what? None of the past kings engaged all this. I'll just tap it here. I'll just try to make him happy. No, God would say, no, I want you to be committed. I want you to be fully committed. Every arrow that's in that quiver, I want you to shoot it until it's gone. Until there's nothing more left that could possibly be done. The reason that we don't follow through a lot of times, the reason that we hold back a lot of times is we're afraid sometimes to engage what it might be if we give it everything we got and fall short. We loved somebody before, but it fell short. Okay? Because we tried it before and it wasn't a success. You know what? Every time we have a failure, we have to recognize that that's just an opportunity to know what didn't work. And to begin to change our attitude. To begin to change what it is we need to let go of. Because God is looking for us to have followed through. He's looking for us to overcome by the whole testimony. See, a testimony is not a testimony until it's complete. It's not a testimony. Somebody comes up here and says, well, I sowed a seed. My testimony is over. Now, what did you learn? Nothing. You learned I sowed a seed. And hopefully there's a promise and hopefully there's an expectation attached to that. But until there's something happens with that, it's not a testimony. God has releasing testimony in this hour. He's releasing testimony and because He wants you to be in a season of completion. He wants you to recognize a season of completion. The excitement must be released into action. See, because your intention must move away and segue into an actual action. Because if your intention will move into an action, then you can begin to have the success that it was you were aiming at. It's great for us to come to church and get excited, but it has to last before past Monday morning. We need to look and understand that, God, you have a testimony waiting for me. You've already spoken it. You've already spoken about the revival, Lord. Let me comment until I get at it. Let me come until it stands in front of me. Let me come until it's working with me. Let me come until it's riding with me everywhere I go. See, when we begin to touch Him, that's the follow through that He's looking for. We begin to pursue Him, that's the follow through that He's looking for. When we begin to recognize that He's given me a word and that word is going to take place in my life and I'm going to keep at it until it does. And I'm looking and I'm calling upon His grace. I'm not limited to what I can do in my own strength because, Lord, I've seen that already enough. I'm not limited to those things. I'm only limited, Lord, by how much of Your grace I'll let happen to me. Hallelujah. So, Lord, bring it on. Tell him right now, Lord, bring it on. Lord, bring on Your grace. Bring on Your grace. I'm willing to engage Your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we hold back because we're afraid of what might happen if we try for success and fail. My sister told me a wonderful story, and I think it applies here because a couple of years ago, probably almost 10 years ago now, my brother-in-law was attending seminary, and they had a picnic day, and they were going to do volleyball. And it happened that they got divided between those who were 40 and over and 40 and less. Now, you can pretty well guarantee what's going to happen in that situation. Okay? But see, the 40 and overs, they got real determined. They got real determined. And guess what? They actually won. Yeah! But see, they defied the odds. But see, they had to pay a price to defy the odds. My brother-in-law woke up the next morning and he said, I couldn't get out of bed. And he said, but I'm not going to let everybody else down. I'm not going to show it, okay? So he gets himself to all the way into the seminary, and he's walking around there and he's trying not to walk stiff. You know how you... He's trying to be natural and casual, and then he sees Father Bannock and he's on a cane. But you know what? It was worth it. Hallelujah. Why? Because we did something that no one else could have done. If you want to do something no one else was going to do, there's a price that comes with that. And that price has to be paid. And that price means that we're going to stand up in faith. That price means we're going to be a little different. That price means that we're going to do something that no one else would do. Because we're going to believe a God like no one else will believe. And we're going to see a revival happen. We're going to see our lives changed. We're going to see bodies made whole. We're going to see people being saved and set free. Hallelujah. Because we got to do something that no one else has done before. We got a destiny. We got to fulfill a destiny here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to feel it. 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 Intention is becoming action. Intention is becoming action. It's not all good. It's not to say, no, someday. No, today. Today. Today, God wants your heart. Today, He wants your action. Today, He wants your intention. He wants all of it with you. Hallelujah. 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 Don't hold back. Don't hold back. We don't have to be in fear, right? Fear will always wait for you, you know? There's always another day for fear. You don't have to hold back and worry about fear. Okay? We can step into an intention. We step into an action. We step into a destiny. And we're going to recognize number 5.5, and I'll close. Give me an HRC. No, a Father's House 5. A Father's House 5. We're going to step in. Why? Because it's the Lord's arrow. It's His arrow. It's His arrow. His destiny, the destiny He's releasing, it's all coming from Him. It's His grace. It's His grace that goes before me. It's His grace that prepares the way. It's His grace that makes it happen. And without Him, I can't do it. So my dependency is upon Him. My testimony is from Him. And when I release it, that testimony is going to set somebody else free. Because they can see they can depend on Him too. They can stand in faith too. Hallelujah. It's the Lord's arrow. See, it's only we're going to execute. We execute with boldness. We execute with boldness. Because why? Because see, when we execute with boldness, then we're not holding back anymore. When we step in, we're just stepping into what's already been released. Why? Because we've already seen it. We've already lived it. We've stepped into that moment time and time again. Because what? Because we've dreamed with God and He showed us that moment. And we just stepped in and allowed Him to draw us to it. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and I'd be shooting hoops, I'd stand there on that foul line and I'd look up. I'd be bouncing the ball and I'd look up and I'd recognize. I'd recognize game five. We didn't have game seven then. Game five. Everything's on the line. I make it, we win. I miss it, I'm the dog that nobody wants to touch. I make it, we win. I make it, we win. I make it, he shoots and it drains it. They win. Rockets win. Rockets win. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I did that a lot. See, I practiced taking the shot. I've wanted to take the shot. I desired to take the shot because we got to have it in us to desire to take the shot. Take the shot, baby. Take the shot. Take the shot. Whatever it takes, take the shot. Whatever you got to get over, take the shot. Whatever you got to go through, take the shot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take the shot. Because it's the Lord's arrow. It's the Lord's arrow. It's not all about you anymore. You can let it go. It's the Lord's arrow that takes the shot. Your success comes from Him. Sometimes we have to let loose of what we've known. Sometimes we have to let loose of the things that have caused us to be incomplete. But we step in because it's no longer about how many times we failed. It's about how we finish. It's how we finish. You know, when Aaron was playing baseball the season before, the coach, they had played eight great innings of baseball. Eight great innings of baseball. But how many know that there's nine innings in baseball? There's nine innings in baseball. Okay, playing eight great innings is not enough. It's about how you finish. And so they put t-shirts on them. They had to wear them everywhere. Everywhere that they went, on the back of their shirt, it said finish. And they weren't allowed to take that shirt off for the whole season. They had to, everywhere they went, it said finish. There was no names on the back of the shirts. All it said on the back of their shirts was finish. We don't know what your name is. We don't care what your name is. We want to know how you finish. We're a nameless, faceless generation. We want to come in and we're looking to see how we finish. And you know what? It made all the difference in the world. They went from losing like 8 or 9 out of the 16 games to winning almost winning the state that year, because it's how you finish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So see this simple little story here. He's releasing some truth to you. He's releasing that you can come into a season of completion. You can come into a season of completion because see how you completed the last season will determine what happens in your next season. It determines how you enter into your next season. Not only how you enter into your next season, but what your next season even looks like. David, when he faced the lion and the bear, he had to face the lion and the bear. Why? Because that completing that season released him to face Goliath. Completing that season released him to become a king. And recognizing in every situation is always going to be a little different. But the thing that the Lord, that he knew, that no one else recognized, was when Goliath came and challenged them at the line, when he came out there and challenged them, they were thinking it was a reproach on them. David saw, it's a reproach on my God. It's not about me. It's about him. And when he began to say that, and he began to proclaim that, and say, no, you're reproaching my God, you got to go. And so what, we know what happened with that. We know that the finish released him into his next season. The finish of Goliath released him into a season that began to bring him into his kingship. There are kings and queens in this room ready to finish. Ready to finish that past season so we can be elevated into our next season. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and give Him glory.